We're going to continue our study this morning on the Sermon on the Mount. And actually, this is our last teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. We're finally to the end of it. And we are excited about building on the rock. Amen. We're going to talk about foundations this morning. All set? Everyone have an outline this morning? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the word that is going forth today. Father, we thank you that your word is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between the soul and the spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us today. Let your word be planted in the soil of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have enjoyed teaching on the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. Have you enjoyed it? Amen. We'll probably review it often because it is God's recipe for revival. And it is how he brings the kingdom of God into our hearts, into our very lives. So let's get started this morning. This is our conclusion, our Jesus' conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. And if you remember in Matthew 7:13, we talked about the wide gate and the narrow gate. There's a wide gate that leads to destruction, and there's a narrow gate that leads to life. And then Jesus continued to build on that, and he warned us about false prophets. And he warned us not to build our lives upon everything that we hear and see, but to build our lives upon the Word of God. And we were to judge those prophets and those ministers by the fruit in their life. It's not about how well they perform. It's not about how well they preach. It's what is really at the root of their life. What is their character? And so you look at the fruit of their life, their moral character, and how they handle the affairs of the life. You know, you can preach the word, but can you live the word? And I always share, God always gives me opportunity to practice what I preach. And often I'll preach something and then I find myself right in the middle of the situation. And I just say, thank you, Lord. This is my opportunity to practice what I preach. Amen? Because the Word of God, it will change our lives. It will help us build. And so this is where Jesus then leads us to. He leads us to this passage in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 29. And so let's read it together. It should be up on our screen. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. All right, so we'll begin here. Jesus is giving a parable, and he's talking about two men who are both builders. They both have identical elements, and they're going to build a house, but each one of them choose a different foundation to build their house upon. And I know we have contractors and builders in our service. How you build the house, the foundation you lay it on, will determine whether or not that structure is secure. Is that right? Can you guys say amen? Okay, so the Lord is saying it's either rock or sand. He's talking about they're going to choose either the rock or the sand, but he's not really talking about literal houses, but he is talking about establishing values. He's talking about determining priorities. He's talking about different philosophies and lifestyles. You got that? He's using the rock and sand as that comparison. So both of these builders that are building their houses are going to face a storm. They're both going to feel the rain come down. They're both going to see the flood come. And they're both going to hear the winds blow. So we know that Jesus is not teaching us that we need to find a safe and secure place and hide out until he comes or until we die. But he's talking to us about real life situations. Storms come. Have you had any storms this week? Have the winds been blowing this week? He's talking about life. So he's communicating to us that we must face reality. And the reality of where you are is usually the most difficult thing to face. But he's saying, face reality. I shared last week, I love Patty's email address. It's face it. And we need to face it. You know, you can keep hiding from things, but what good is that going to do? Because they're still there. Many people will move. They'll move away from the church. They'll move out of state. But I always share, if they want any counsel, you know when you move, you'll be there. Things don't change when you're there. You can change wherever you're at. We don't have to move to get out of that situation. Unless you're in a domestic abuse situation, then yeah, you need to move out of the abuse. But we can change right where we're at. Or we can take all our problems and move to another place. So Jesus is really saying life is going to be difficult. Life is difficult. These two builders, they have a choice to make. So it sounds like these two people are two totally different mindsets. The first builder is the type who does more than just hear the teachings of Jesus, but he is willing to build his life upon that truth. The second builder hears the teachings of Jesus, but totally chooses not to apply them to his life. So Jesus calls the first one the wise builder, and he calls the second one the foolish builder. And in the book of James, James tells us not just to listen to the word, because if we just listen to the word, then we deceive ourselves. But when we hear the word, we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only. So the two houses, the outcome was one stood when the winds began to blow and the test came, and the other one crashed. So the wise builder constructed his life upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what he had been teaching. Because if your life is built upon Jesus, even when the winds of trouble come, and they will come, the storms of life, you can stand. Your house can stand. I was with Dina Miller and Tracy this week. I spent Friday morning with them. Dan and Dina's daughter-in-law, Nita, has been battling with cancer, and she lost her battle this morning. She has transitioned on into glory. Young mom, we don't understand all of that. Children involved. But you know, the storm is raging in their life right now. Lots of unanswered questions, lots of grieving. But we know that Nita has gone on into glory. Dina texted me early this morning and said Nita is flying with the angels. And so in that point, there's a relief. But you know, everyone that remains on this side of heaven struggles with that. Is that true? But there's a storm going on in their life. But you know what? Dan and Dina's life is built upon the rock, Christ Jesus. You know, they're weathering this storm because they know that there's hope in the next life. You know, we just walk from this life into the next life when we serve God. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And so their life will stand upon the rock, and they send all of us their love. They would have loved to have been here today, but they weren't able to do that. But we want to lift them up in prayer, carry them through this, the whole family that's involved. So remember that in your prayer time this week. But that is a great representation of life being built upon the rock. Because there are trouble and tribulations in this life. So when we hear the word and we do the word and we work it in our life, we are building upon the rock, Christ Jesus. When we choose to just ignore it and push it away, you know, we hear it, but then we ignore it. And all of us have been there. No one can say they haven't done that before. Because that's what we do. Often, the very thing that we need to hear is the very thing that we'll shut out. It's kind of like if you really want to do something when you're a teenager, often you won't ask your mom and dad because you just really want to do it. And you don't want to hear what they're going to say. But when we hear the word and we apply the word, we become stronger. When we push it away, do you know you become weaker? Your spiritual man becomes weaker. We have a spiritual being. We're a spirit. We have a soul. And we live in this body. And we need to be fed. And the only thing that feeds us is spiritual food. And the only thing that feeds us is the Word of God. Because God's Word is spirit and it is life. And it gives life to our inward parts. And we become stronger and our light becomes brighter. And God begins to use us more and more. And we see God moving in our life. And we have opposition that comes against us. We have resistance that comes against us. We have problems on the job. We have gossip in the office. We have people talking about us in the factory. But that somehow just doesn't matter to us anymore because we know who we are in Jesus Christ. You see, the enemy is throwing so many things at us to get us distracted and get us off track and to get us to stop thinking about how great God is and that every praise goes to Him. The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will do everything he can to distract you and try to pull you off track. Because if he can use up your emotional time and your emotional energy, then he's got you. He's got you right where he wants you because you're not applying yourself and walking in the peace that God has given to us. God has provision for us. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are the children of God. We are special people. I read that this morning in our opening verse. We are special people. We have been chosen by God. We're a chosen generation. And God has chose you. And God has put a label on you that says you are a special person. And the world will tell you that you're not. And the guy that works next to you will make fun of you. And he will cut you down. He'll spread rumors about you. But that is not who you are. And don't let that penetrate into your soul. And I sense this morning that a lot of that has been going on, that we've been listening to what other people say about us and what other people say who we are. Our identity is not in what people think of us. We have no control over what is going on in someone else's head. And you can talk to that person and you might think that everything is okay between you, but you have no idea of the thought that they're thinking about you. And pretty soon those thoughts turn into action. And pretty soon those thoughts are coming out of their mouth as words and as darts. The enemy will throw fiery darts at you through people's words. Words sting. They sting and they stick unless we peel them off, you know, like Velcro. You just got to take them off of you because that's not who you are. And they can have their opinion. They can have their thoughts. We have no control over what people are thinking. We have no control. I don't want control over what people are thinking. I just want them to have the mind of Christ and God to take control of their thoughts. But we're not in charge of them. Tell your neighbor, you're not in charge of them. The charge that Jesus gives us is to be a witness to them. He charges us to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. He charges us to walk in authority and walk with a kingdom peace. And if we're walking in authority from the kingdom of God, then the kingdom will demonstrate itself in our lives. And God is demonstrating his kingdom this morning by setting us free from these mindsets that are trying to control us and get us off track. You see, the foolish builder simply refused to hear the word of the Lord. And this morning, we hear the Lord speaking to us. We hear what he is saying. I just sense that there are some in here that have made what people think of them and what people are saying about them more important than God. And you don't have to raise your hand, but by the Holy Spirit, let's just bow our heads. Father, you know who we are that are sitting in this room. And Lord, you said that as your word is preached, your kingdom comes. So Jesus, set us free today from those nagging, tormenting thoughts. Even some of those thoughts I hear the Spirit of the Lord say are from the past. It's things that people have spoken to you and about you from the past. And you allow them to come up and begin to dictate your own thoughts again. And so, Father, we repent of allowing them to do that. And we ask you, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to cut those thoughts. To take the sword of the Spirit and cut the tie. There's an emotional tie that keeps pulling you back to that situation. Lord, we ask you to cut that emotional tie and cleanse us in our spirit man and in our thought life. Cleanse us with the blood of Jesus. You said if we confess our sin, you will forgive us. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteous. Lord, that is unrighteous thinking. Lord, cleanse our hearts and minds today. Deliver us, Lord, out of the grip of the enemy. We break every emotional tie with the enemy by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross. We thank you, Lord, that you already defeated him. And we are in you, so the enemy is defeated. Get a picture. You are in Christ. And Christ defeated Satan at the cross. So Satan is already defeated in your life. So we break the agreement with the lie that we have believed that there's nothing we can do about it. Come on. We've told ourselves that and we've just sat back and relaxed and said, well, there's nothing I can do it. It is what it is. God says, no, it is what I say it is. It is what I say it is. God is releasing the kingdom of God. We carry the kingdom of God with us. And when we gather, his kingdom is here. We connect heaven to earth. The peace of God is here. The healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ is here. He is with us. Lord, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That we can build our life upon a solid rock. The rock Christ Jesus. And in Matthew 7:29, it says, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You see, the scribes taught what everybody else had been saying. But Jesus was the Word of God. He was the Word made flesh. And he spoke with authority. Paul told us in 2 Timothy 4:3 through 5, you might want to write this down. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. That time is here where people are pushing away the truth because they have itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear. An itching ear wants to be scratched, you know, it wants to be comforted. Your ear starts itching and you're putting your finger in it, which I don't think you're supposed to, and you're scratching that itch. And it's the same way. People want to be satisfied. They want to hear what they want to hear. And so they'll keep going different places until they find that place where they can be comfortable. But God did not call us to be comfortable. He called us to be holy. And going through that process isn't comfortable. But God is with us. God is building us. God wants his kingdom to come in our lives and his will to be done. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He said false prophets would come in the last days. We studied this last week. Then they would try to teach you that there is more than one way to get to heaven. There isn't more than one way. And we see that we continually are being narrowed down as a group in the world that believe Jesus Christ is the only way. But Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is life. We want life. Therefore, we receive Jesus. He's in a kingdom of life. We're in a kingdom of life. And God is with us. In every storm, in every trial, through every tribulation, through whatever you're going through this morning, God is with you. He knows more details about your situation than you know. Tell your neighbor, he knows more. Tell her, I encourage you, he knows more. He knows more about what is going on than what we even know ourselves.